Thank you, Pastor Alex. If you would all stand for in reverence of God and his word. And good morning to everyone here at Hampton Road, members and visitors, and also good morning to those that's online. This morning's text is coming from Philippians 2, verses 5 through 11. And the word of the Lord reads, "Have this mind among yourself, which is yours in Christ Jesus, who though he was in the form of God, did not count equality with God a thing to be grasped, but emptied himself by taking the form of a servant in the likeness of men. And being found in human form, he humbled himself by becoming obedient to the point of death. Therefore, God has highly exalted him and bestowed upon him the name that is above every name. So at that name of Jesus, every knee shall bow in heaven and on earth and under the earth, and every tongue shall confess that Jesus Christ is Lord to the glory of God the Father." May the Lord add a blessing to the readers, doers, and hearers of his words. Amen.
Amen. Amen. You may be seated. This man needs no introduction because he is the man. Y'all know what I'm saying? Amen. But I'm so excited that Brother Adrian's coming. He's going to give us a word. But I do want to say this, and I want to encourage you to try to be here each night. It's just tonight and then Monday night. But tomorrow night, Galen Conch will be here, And he is an incredible speaker as well. And then, of course, Chris Henderson will be here Tuesday night. Now, I told each one of them that our theme this year was God Can, Will You. But, I don't tell them what to preach or what to do. And isn't it interesting? This is a scripture we just went through a couple weeks ago. So apparently God didn't think we got it all, right? And so I'm thankful that Adrian's going to come and do this. But the other thing that I think is very interesting too is, y'all know that Pastor Freeman last week left off of Philippians 3, 1 through 11? Well, Dr. Clunch, he wrote me his outline and gave it to me last week, and he's picking up where you left off. And I was getting ready for that sermon, but God was like, "I didn't want you to preach it. I want him to preach it." So you don't want to miss these next couple of days. I'm really excited about what's going on. But I do want to say this. There's very few people in your life that when you're with them, you know they make you a better person. And I got to tell you, my brother, Adrian, is one of those people in my life. And so, brother, you come and you give the word. We're excited about you being here, brother.
Good morning.
Can you hear me?
Yes.
Hey, family.
Amen.
We dearly miss y'all. It's weird to be received with such honor and love from your family. And though we've been absent bodily, we have been bathing in prayer for each and every one of you. For this church, for your pastor. And as soon as I got the call, I wanted to make him sweat a little bit. But my wife, she was like, "Boy, you know you're going to do it. So we might as well get prepared."
Amen.
And so here we are. I'm so, so, so overjoyed to see y'all today. It blesses my heart. I'm full for a myriad of reasons, just to see the sanctuary again and just to walk in this place and just to know that the Spirit of God is still indwelling, to see the youth that I've got to grow with. Now, some of them are, they grown. Like, my Lord, it's been 2 years. And it doesn't seem like it, but it's been 2 years. I have gone through various hills and valleys in this 2 years. But God is good. God is good. And he's brought us such a long way. So I just want to share with you a little bit of what I've learned in this short time that we've been apart. Let's pray first, and then we'll get to the word. Gracious God, our Father, you are Lord, Jesus. Jesus is Lord. You are holy. You are righteous. You are almighty. You are all wise. You are light, and there is no variation in you. You are perfect. You are loving. You are justice. You are everything, Lord God, that we need and even more. So right now, Father God, right now I beseech you, Father, that you would rest, rule, and abide in our hearts. That you would open our ear gates, open our eyes, open our minds, open our mouths, oh Father God, to receive you and in turn to worship you the way you and you alone deserve to be worshiped. We need you today, Lord God. Lord, this may not be an easy message for many to hear, but I'm reminded of 1 Corinthians that says that the message of the cross is foolishness to those who are perishing. So, I am humbly obedient to your will and your word. I ask right now, Lord God, that you shut me up. Shut me up and shut me out, and you speak through me, Father God. Have your way. We bless you. We're going to be careful to give you all the praise, glory, and honor, because that's what you deserve. The mighty, matchless, magnificent, and majestic name of Jesus the Christ, we pray. Amen. During the time of Jesus' ministry, this was actually the beginning of the fall of the Roman Empire. The time that Jesus lived was the beginning of the fall of the Roman Empire. However, the Roman Empire still had rulership and authority over most of the known world. Okay? During the time of Jesus' life, the Roman Empire contained about 12 million slaves. 12 million slaves. And just to paint a picture on how many slaves that is, there were only about 2.5 million slaves that were brought over in the transatlantic slave movement. 12 million slaves, each having various duties, having various educational backgrounds, having various economic backgrounds. Slaves ran the kingdom. But one thing that was required of every slave and every citizen in Rome is that they, to be accepted, must declare that Caesar is Lord. And so throughout this Roman kingdom, slaves from Africa, slaves from Asia, slaves from Europe, slaves from all over the known world at the time were unison in declaring Caesar is Lord, until this Christ Jesus came and he lived a perfect life of submission to the will of the Father. And he died in perfect submission to the will of the Father. And he rose again with all authority in perfect submission to the will of the Father. And Jesus during his time was teaching and showing and proving who he was, and which caused in turn the disciples who followed him, the believers, to declare, no, I don't know what y'all know about Caesar, but Jesus is Lord. And that saying, that phrase, Jesus is Lord, Jesus Kurios in Greek, Yesu Kurios, that saying started to spread like a wildfire throughout Israel, throughout Judea, throughout the known world, as the message of the cross started to spread even unto Hellenistic and Greek nations. Yesu es Kurios. Jesus is Lord. But what does that mean?
Help us, preacher.
What does it mean to declare that Jesus is Lord? Let's define what the word Lord means, because we use it a lot, right? Who's ever looked up the definition of Lord? I'm glad you asked. I'll tell you for free. The word Lord simply means one who has supreme rulership, authority, power, and ownership. Once again, I say it again just in case you didn't hear me. I know I can get loud sometimes, but I don't know if y'all ears are closed. One who has supreme rulership, authority, power, and ownership. Which begs a question. Since, not if, because Jesus is Lord, whether or not you recognize him as such. Since Jesus is Lord, and you're a Christian, so you say, if he's Lord, if he's supreme in your life, if he's the master of your soul, what are you? What am I? Since Jesus is Lord, what are we? What? Say it again. Slaves. I know I heard some servants out there, but let me tell you, the word servant is just a sugar-coated version of what we really are, which is a slave. Y'all know I'm not politically correct, so y'all might as well get ready for those of y'all who don't know me. I know black folks don't want to hear that, because we're not too far removed from what we call the transatlantic slave movement or chattel slavery.
Watch out, man.
But the message is thus.
Yeah.
Jesus owns us. He's my king. He's my savior. He's my father. He's my big brother. He's everything above me. So I, in turn, better get down.
Yeah. That's it. Help us.
If Jesus is Lord, Kurios, master, owner, ruler, authority of my life, when we as Christians confess Jesus is Lord, we in turn should understand we are confessing to be his slave. Oh, it don't feel good, do it? Y'all don't like that. It's okay. It's okay. It's okay. It's okay.
You're speaking the truth. Been there. Come on.
The worldly slaves had no problem declaring that Caesar was Lord.
Yeah.
I don't know if you know this, but if you look it up, you will find that there are more slaves in number today than in the height of world slavery. I'll say it again. Y'all got quiet. There are more slaves in number today. Go to certain parts of Africa, certain Arab nations, Go to certain parts of Asia, North Korea, Northern Nigeria. There are more slaves in number today than have ever been throughout history. Everybody is a slave to something. You might be a slave to drugs, to alcohol, to sex, to money, to your little education. You might be a slave to people, but you're going to be a slave to something. The slavery that the messengers of the gospel produced or presented was not like the worldly institution of slavery. The first institution of slavery was not based off of race. Y'all funny. It was not based off of race. It was rather based off of who was conquered and who was the conqueror. And I don't know if you know this, but every king that has ever existed, every ruler, every master, you can't be a master unless you're a master of somebody. You can't rule unless you're ruling over somebody. You can't be a king unless you're the king over somebody. I got some Bible readers, huh? Every single king, ruler, master was justified in their authority because they had slaves that they would serve them. I'm painting a picture. Can I paint a picture? Okay. Therefore, slavery was not based off of race. It was not looking at someone as if they was lower than human. There was just work to be done. There was money to be made. And so this was the institution that was set up by man. God never, once again, God never intended for man to rule over man. It was not in his will. It was not in his perfect will, but it was his permissive will, because people's heart were so hard and they were so disobedient to God, they just simply began to move the goalposts of God's rule. God wanted us to have dominion over the creatures, over the birds, over the fish, over the land, but we looked at each other and we... It's a worldly institution. It's a social construct. God doesn't condemn it, but he doesn't condone it either. But he uses it to accomplish his perfect will. Are you with me? I know y'all don't like this. I know some of y'all don't like this. It's okay. It's okay. Come talk to me after church. Then comes Jesus and his followers, declaring, no, I know y'all know Caesar. I know Caesar gives you a little bit of bread, a little bit of water. I know you think you got a good life and you think Caesar protects you. But your worldly institution of slavery is only going to equal sin, condemnation, and death. But let me tell you about my Jesus. When you decide not to accept him, we don't accept God. Well, who do we think we are? We surrender to the Lord. When we decide to surrender our very lives to the lordship of Jesus, we in turn are slaves of righteousness, of eternal life, of glory beyond majesty, beyond our even brains could imagine. The message of the apostles was, Jesus is Lord, be his slave.
Yeah, 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 yeah.
Be his slave.
Thank you.
Okay, so hold on. No, you want me to continue in slavery? Yeah. Yeah. Why should I continue enslaved? Because your master did it. Let this mind be amongst yourselves. It's plural. That means you. Let this mind be amongst yourselves that was yours in Christ Jesus. What does that mean? Don't wrestle against it. Let it happen. It's already there. Humble yourself like Jesus humbled himself. This was God in the flesh.
Yeah, yeah.
The creator of everything.
Yeah.
Who looked at his godliness, his deified state, and he said, you know what? I got work to do. His equality with God, with the Father, wasn't to be grasped. I'm a veil that in the flesh of a man. And he came down, being found in human form, became obedient as a slave. I know we see servant. We see servant in the Bible, right? We see servant, right? Go back to the Greek. Anybody have a Greek lexicon? That's okay, I got one. It means, the word that's used there is doulos. Everybody say doulos.
D-O-U-L-O-S.
Doulos. The word doulos simply means slave. Jesus humbled himself and became a slave to the will of his Father, even unto death. On a cross, the worst possible way for a human being to die. He did it, and he was innocent of everything. He was perfect in every way. He never broke the law. He never offended the Father in any way, shape, or form. And he died so that you could live. But you don't get to live on your own. If you go to the book of John, chapter 15, you go to the book of John, chapter 15, starting at verse 9. I want to read this scripture to you. This is so powerful to me. John, chapter 15, starting at verse 9, and the Bible says, as the Father has loved me, so I love you. You telling me I'm a slave, but I'm loved by God? In the same way that the Father loves his only begotten, I'm loved by Jesus? Wait a minute now.
Yeah, yeah.
No, hold on. Jesus was perfect. I smell bad sometimes. Jesus was perfect. I mess up my speech sometimes. But Jesus, what? But I'm loved in the same exact way? Is that what you're telling me? We are slaves, but we're not just like any other slave. We are slaves who are loved by God. As the Father has loved me, so have I loved you. Abide in my love. Live in it. Soak it up. Think about it. Enjoy it. If you keep my commandments, slave language. He's given us commandments. Why? Because he's master. Because he's Lord. I don't know if you know this, but slave language is riddled throughout Scripture. It's everywhere. Even the beginning of Philippians, Paul, a slave. It's how he introduces himself. Galatians chapter 1, Paul, a slave. James chapter 1, James, a slave. Jude 1, Jude, a slave. They introduce themselves as slaves, and they're not ashamed. That's why Paul said, I'm not ashamed of the gospel of Jesus Christ. For it is the power of God unto salvation. My submission to the Lord Jesus gives me life. Are y'all scared to be slaves? Are you ashamed of it? I tell you what, the only way you're going to be ashamed of it is if you're a slave to something in the world.
Okay, preach. Watch out, man. Preach.
We so busy calling each other kings and queens. What's up, king? What's up, queen? And none of us know how to serve.
Yeah, look out.
Let that soak in.
Yeah, yeah.
As the Father has loved me, so have I loved you. Abide in my love. If you keep my commandments, you will abide in my love. Just as I have kept them. What do you mean? Keep my commandments. I'm the authority. I tell you what to do. And if you do what I tell you to do, I love you.
Yeah, yeah.
And guess what? I had to do the same. Jesus did the same thing he's requiring you to do. You will abide in my love, just as I have kept my Father's commandments and abide in his love. These things I have spoken to you, that my joy may be in you, and that your joy may be full. If you do what I tell you to do, that's evidence that I love you and you're abiding in my love, and not just love, I will give you joy. And I will fill you up with joy, even in your worst moments, in your lowest times in life. You can still have joy, unspeakable joy. Why? Because Jesus, the Master, gave it to you. And if he gave it to you, can't nobody take it away. This is my commandment, verse 12, that you love one another. Uh-oh. Are we cool with the love of Jesus, but when it comes to loving one another? This is my commandment. Why? I am Lord. That you love one another just as I have loved you. Greater love has no one than this, that someone would lay down his life for his friends. You are my friends, contingency, if you do what I command you. What? It's everywhere. Slavery language is everywhere throughout the scripture. You are my friends. So we are slaves that are loved. We are slaves full of joy. And we are slaves who are friends of God. Do you see it? No longer do I call you slaves. What he's saying there is, I don't just call you slaves. For the servant does not know what his master is doing. You still have to abide by his commandments. You still have the office of slave. But the personal relationship is now ballooning into friendship. For the slave does not know what his master is doing. But I have called you friends, for all that I have heard from the Father, I have made known to you. Do you see it? Watch this. Watch this. Watch this. Watch this. Watch this. You didn't choose me. Verse 16, you didn't choose Jesus. You didn't choose your salvation. You didn't choose God. But rather, he chose you and appointed you that you should.
Yes, sir.
and bear fruit, that your fruit should abide, so that whatever you ask in as the Father. You see, the relationship now is not just between you and Jesus or me and Jesus. Now, because of Jesus and our love for one another, I've been introduced to the Father. I have unlimited access to God on high because of who Jesus is and what he's done. And I didn't choose him. He chose me. It was Jesus, the Christ, who went into the slave markets of sin and bought you and me with a price. And that price was his perfect, precious blood that he shed on the cross. Do you know what you're worth? You're worth the blood of the living God. How much does he love you? If you would abide in his love, if you would do what he tells you to do. Jesus said, why do you call me Lord, Lord, and not do what I tell you to do? You're calling me Lord, you're calling me Master, but you're not even obeying me.
All right.
Human beings seem to be the only creature throughout all the creation that are disobedient to God.
Okay.
Every other creature does what they tell them to do.
Okay.
Every other creature does what God. The sun rises faithfully every morning.
Glory.
The stars shine faithfully every night. The ocean still can't go past that line that God drew in the sand unless he allows it. Birds sing every morning to the glory of the Father. Trees stretch out their limbs giving God praise every morning. We're the only ones. I don't feel like it. I'm tired. I shouldn't have been made this way. I should be better. We're the only ones who live in disobedience. And we're the only ones who made in the image of God. Why? Because we lack understanding. We lack that mind. Let this mind be in you that was in Christ Jesus. Yes, you're fearfully and wonderfully made in the image of God. But where is your mind? Where are you in your personal relationship with the Lord?
They don't like that. Come on. Come on. You own it.
You didn't choose me, but I chose you and appointed you that you should go and bear fruit, that your fruit should abide, so that whatever you ask the Father in my name. What then? The Philippians 2 said, therefore God has given him that name that's above every name, and that at the name of Jesus everything goes into submission. So if you're willfully submitting your life, what's happening in that position is you're taking on, you're exhibiting, you're exercising the characteristics of Christ himself. And when you exercise or show the characteristics of Christ, the Father sees that and he sees his Son in you. And just as Christ was raised and edified, the Bible says that you and I are promised to be raised and edified. We are no longer just slaves. We're slaves who are loved. We're slaves full of joy. We're slaves that are friends. And we are slaves who are sons of God through Jesus Christ. You're promised adoption as sons by whom we cry, Abba, Father. And what does that mean? Why is that important? don't know the promises of God, I feel for you. Just to hear the promises of God amaze me. They cause my heart to skip a beat. And I haven't even been able to visualize them, because the Bible says if we see them, it'll blow your presence. It'll blow your mind. And God is taking those promises and he's guarding them for you and I. On that day when Jesus cracks the sky and he calls you to himself and he said, these are my own. They've been faithful in their servitude. They've been faithful in their love for me and their love for one another. They've come together on one accord, looking just like me. So, Father, they look like me. You say you love me. I need you to receive them as you have received me. Here, Father, these are your children. Give to them the glory that you gave to me when I rose from the dead. So much in store for you, provided you serve. Provided you suffer for a little while. I'm almost done. This is what we need to understand. We need to gain understanding of Christian slavery, which is righteous, holy servitude. Righteous and holy servitude. This is how we do that. This is how we do that. I lost my page. I'm sorry, y'all. This is how we do that. So if there's any encouragement in Christ, any comfort from love, any participation in the Spirit, any affection and sympathy, complete my joy. Of the same mind, having the same love, being in full accord in one mind, this is what we do. Do nothing. Nothing. Not some things, not a few things, not most things. Do nothing out of selfish ambition or conceit. It's not about you. Your salvation, your life, your accomplishment should simply give Christ the glory. Amen. Do nothing out of selfish ambition or conceit, but in humility. Ooh, we struggle with this. Help us, Lord. Count others more significant than yourselves. Let each of you look not only to his own interest, but also to the interest of others. Ooh. Especially in the West, in the United States. Boy, we selfish. Me, 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 I. My. Have this mind among yourselves. This is how you do that. This is how you have that mind among yourselves. Surrender.
Yeah. That's good.
Surrender everything. Everything. Surrender everything. Why? You're going to have to give it back to him anyway. It's not even yours. It's his.
There you go.
Do you know when you stand before God, as I was telling the youth this morning, when you and I stand before God, we're going to have to give God back what he gave to us.
Amen.
Better than how we received it. When I stand before God, I'm accountable for the holiness of my wife and my children. When I stand before God, I'm accountable for how I perform my job.
Yeah, yeah.
When I stand before God, when I stand before the King and the Master of my life, I'm going to be accountable for every single thing that He gave me as a gift.
Yeah.
And I'm going to want to glorify Him just like the servants with the talents.
Yeah, yeah.
Where is your mind? Where is your mind? Your mind caught up in the affairs of this world? Are you slaving and serving Satan? Things that will die?
Yeah.
Things that will perish? Things that will burn up in a day of judgment? Yeah. Or are you humbly, willfully enslaving yourself to Christ, to righteousness, and to eternal life?
Amen.
That's your challenge. God bless you.